2 Corinthians chapter 6. Our text today is going to be verses 3 to 13. The Apostle Paul writes, "We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You're not restricted by us, but you're restricted by your own affections. Now in return for the same, I speak as the children, you also be open." This isn't a random passage that I've chosen. We're going through the second letter to the Corinthians, verse by verse, week after week. If you asked me a year ago which book of the New Testament I am least familiar with, that I didn't know that well, I would tell you, I would very easily tell you 2 Corinthians. I felt like I had a better grasp even of the book of Revelation rather than 2 Corinthians. When we started the book several months ago, I did an introduction. As always, when I start a new book, I do an introduction to the book. I had studied it, I had read it several times, but I was still having trouble. Not that what I said in the introduction was wrong, but it wasn't as complete as I would like. I felt that I still didn't have a great grasp of what the book is all about. But thank the Lord, after preaching for several months on it and having been through the first five chapters and knowing where he's going with this, I finally know what the book is about, which is good for you. What is the book about? It's about Christian ministry. It's about Christian ministry. The Apostle Paul talks about the glories and the joys of Christian ministry. He talks about the difficulties and trials of Christian ministry. And of course, he talks about what the message is of the Christian minister, which we looked at in chapter 5. And you may say, well, what do I care? I'm not a pastor or a teacher. Well, you should care. I'll give you two reasons why you should care what this book has to say. Number one, you need to know if the people that you do listen to, if the people that do teach you, that you are taught by, are true Christian ministers. That's number one. And number two, at another level, all Christians are ministers. Even if you're not a teacher or a preacher or a pastor, all Christians are to minister, which means to serve other believers, to serve God. We are all to share the gospel with the world around us. And so this book is very helpful and thankful. And we should be thankful for it. So this is a very important letter. Now, our passage today, verses 3 to 13, could stand as an introduction to the letter itself. We took a couple of months off for the summer because people are away, and we did a few other things. We looked at some other topics. But I had purposefully, a couple of months ago, stopped at verse 2. Purposely stopped at verse 2 because I think this passage we're going to look at today is a good way to get back into 2 Corinthians. What's going on? Paul has had a lot of trouble with the Corinthian church. So much trouble. The church in Corinth was one of the worst churches in the New Testament. And Paul had had a lot of trouble with them for a long time. And they've been quite immature. I think he even calls them children in verse 13. Many of them had been looking at the Apostle Paul. And they were like, man, Just look at him. He's poor. He's weak. He's beaten up. He's tired. Where's the glory? Where's the blessing? Where's the life of triumph? Is Paul really our leader in this church? I can't help but think, having been through 1 Corinthians, which we finished before 2 Corinthians, and now being into 2 Corinthians, I can't help but think that the Corinthians would have loved a guy like Joel Osteen. For those of you who don't know Joel Osteen, I thought of him because he has one of the biggest churches in the world, so I thought of him. He's a motivational speaker who pretends to be a Christian preacher. Let's put it that way. That's the nicest way that I can put it. Well-dressed. Nice teeth. Nice hair. Big smile. Successful. And he teaches that this is what God wants for you. To be rich and powerful and successful and live a life of triumph. Corinthians would have loved that. They would have loved that. Instead, they're stuck with a guy who people think is the scum of the earth. People, everywhere that the Apostle Paul goes, people try to kill him. This is true. Everywhere he goes, people try to kill him or put him in jail. Now, you don't want to associate with people like that. A person who comes into town all beaten and everything, you know, it would be weird. Your preacher shows up and he's all, what happened with you? I got beaten up again. We don't want that for us. And so this is the guy that we don't really want to associate with that. And Paul is explaining to them in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. You realize that we're worshiping a man who was rejected and crucified. Jesus said to his disciples, a student is not above his teacher. If they persecute me, they're definitely going to persecute you too. The Christian ministry and Christian life in general is not just rainbows and flowers all the time. In Acts chapter 14, the Apostle Paul was speaking to certain churches that he had founded, and he said, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And much of this letter is about Paul explaining what Christian ministry is. And he's trying to get the Corinthians, who had almost apostatized, almost said, we don't want anything more to do with Paul. He's trying to get them to embrace him and embrace the gospel that he preaches, because this is a genuine Christian minister. So, in our passage for today, he's going to basically give us a long list, and he's going to tell us how he conducts himself so we can see what his life is like. So in verse 3, he starts off and he says, we give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God in much patience. Stop right there for a second. In much patience. It could also be translated in much endurance. We commend ourselves as ministers of God with much endurance. And he's going to give a list of characteristics of his ministry. And I think the first one that he throws in here, patience or endurance, it's not an accident that he puts that first. I think that's kind of like a heading to everything that's going to come afterwards. Patience and endurance. In Psalm 55, the psalmist says, oh, for the wings of a dove, that I may fly away and find rest. I'm the pastor of a tiny church, and sometimes I get discouraged by how few of us there are. Other times I think about it, and I'm like, maybe God is just sparing me. Maybe God is being kind to me. Because more people It's more... I wasn't going for work, I was looking for a different word. You know, if you don't stand up to... If you don't talk all the time, there's less for people to criticize. If you just stay silent and don't preach, there'll be fewer people getting upset with you for what you said. I think of the prophet Jeremiah, who every time he opened his mouth, someone grabbed him and beat him up. And at some point he says, I quit. I've had enough. There's no point. I'm not doing this anymore. But right after he says that I quit, he says, but it's like there's a fire in me and I just can't stop. I have to keep on speaking. Well, no one went through more trouble than the Apostle Paul. And he didn't stop. I'm sure there are times that he thought about stopping. In fact, in the beginning, in the first chapter of 2 Corinthians, he starts off and he says, things got so bad for me that we gave up all hope. Which is a bad place to be. But he didn't stop. He endured. He had patience through all of his trials. And so starting with endurance or patience, he says, he talks about tribulations, needs, and distresses. Life was not easy for the Apostle Paul. He went through a lot. Then verse 5, he mentions three specific tribulations, three specific troubles that he got from other people. Look at verse 5. In stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults. I don't know how to pronounce that. If Paul took off his shirt, you could count 195 lashes on his body. At this point in his life. And he still has more years to go. He'd received the 39 lashes 5 times from the Jews. He'd been beaten with rods 3 times. He'd been imprisoned. Up until this point, I can only pick one time that he had been imprisoned, but he may have been imprisoned more times that are not mentioned, and he was going to spend way more time of his life in more prison. In fact, if tradition is true, he was imprisoned in Rome until he was finally executed. That's Paul's life. He didn't get to retire somewhere on a beach. He got to die at the end. He got to get killed, being led from a jail cell to, let's kill you. That was his life. Riots everywhere that he went, especially the largest riot that he had caused was right before he wrote this letter. He left Ephesus. Why did he leave Ephesus? Because in Ephesus, some people said, this is the guy who's causing all this trouble in our city, and so they cause this it starts off small and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. You can read about it in the book of Acts, and there's this massive city-wide riot for hours because of the Apostle Paul. And Paul was like, all right, things are getting a bit too sporty around here, so I think it may be time to leave. And that's when he left, and right after that he wrote this letter. He mentions after that, in verse 5, three difficulties that he willingly took upon himself. He says, in labors, in sleeplessness, and in fastings. These are things that Paul willingly did for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of preaching the gospel. You know, when Paul was in Corinth, and a bunch of other places, he didn't have financial support, which means that he had to work. So he worked all week as a tent maker, and then when he wasn't working, he was teaching. So it's no surprise that he went sleepless many times, and without food many times, and worked very hard. He had another option, though. He had another option. He didn't have to do that. He had another option. He could quit. He could quit. Just go be a tent maker somewhere, live in peace. But he didn't. He kept on going. He endured. What many of the Corinthians here were probably thinking, and many today may think, when they look at the difficulties and trials and pains of Paul's life, they would think, These are marks of unbelief. These are not marks of a true Christian minister where he's going through all these things. Where's the blessing? Where's the glory? And what Paul is doing here, he's basically saying the exact opposite. He's saying all these things that I go through, these are actually proof of true Christian ministry. Being able to go through all these things and not stop because the gospel is true and Christ is worth it. So you don't stop even through all these difficulties. You know, many people that we talk to, people in our families, they may, when we tell them about Christ and the gospel, they may reject what we say. But when we endure trials and tribulations and difficulties and things that under which other people would give up, and we don't, even if they don't believe what we say, they can't deny there's something different. There's something about this person's life that I don't have, that other people don't have. That's something that Paul is doing here. You know, in early Christianity, for the first few centuries of Christianity, Satan, through the Roman Empire, tried to destroy Christianity. And so what was his plan? The plan was kill him, torture him, okay? Because we can stamp him out. And if we torture and kill Christians, that will deter other people from wanting to become Christians. That was Satan's idea. That was the idea of the Roman Empire. But it didn't work. In fact, it did the exact opposite. Strangely enough, the more people were martyred and killed, the more others became Christians. And you're like, what? In fact, Tertullian, the second to third century early church writer, said that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. The more people get killed for Christ, it seems that the church keeps on growing. It's a powerful thing to see a person being tortured and killed and yet not giving up on what he believes. People would look at that and be like, what is it about these people? What is it about these people who go to their death singing hymns? It doesn't make sense. Maybe they know something that I don't know. And more people got saved. There's a phrase, fair weather Christians. Have you ever heard that? Fair weather Christians. What's that? Fair weather Christian is a person who says that he's a Christian, but he only serves God when everything is going well. When things go bad, not so much. Well, Paul wants us to be Christians all the time. Paul was a Christian all the time, even when he went through very difficult things, things that none of us have gone through. One time Paul was stoned and survived. They had to drag his unconscious body out and then he woke up. But he endured. He went through all these things. He went through all these trials. And yet something interesting that we'll see in the next few verses, you will notice he went through all these things without becoming a bitter and angry person. Look at verse 6. Still talking about his life as he commends himself as a minister of God by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. There are people who do indeed endure many difficult things in life, but they do it with bitterness and anger, and they're resentful and joyless and proud because look at what I went through. Paul isn't like that. Paul endured through all these things with purity and kindness and love. And of course he says by the power of God. Otherwise he wouldn't have been able to do it. And he says he lived with the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. He put on his armor because he knew that life was a battle. and he lived a righteous life. How did Paul begin this section? Verse 3, he says, "We give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed, or our ministry may not be discredited." Okay? Nothing is more discrediting, nothing is more of an offense, nothing is more than more of an obstacle to the Christian ministry and the Christian life when a Christian lives a life in a way which is contrary to his profession. This is what unbelievers look at, and they say, "He says he's a Christian, but look how he lives. So Christianity is a joke. They're no different from anyone else." Paul says, "We're not like that. I commend myself as an apostle, as a minister of God. We're not like that. He lives with purity, and with righteousness." And this list ends with what may seem to be a list of paradoxes, but it's not really. It's a, what we're going to see in the next few verses is a contrast between how the world views things, how the world would view Paul, but how, and then contrasted with how they truly are. How does the world view Paul's ministry, and what is it like truly? He says, "We commend ourselves." How? Verse 8 says, "By honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report." There were tons of bad things being said about Paul by unbelievers and even in churches, like in Corinth. But you know what? It really doesn't matter what other people have to say about you. There's only one person's opinion that matters, and that's God's. So even if everyone else is dishonoring you and speaking evil of you, what matters is, how does God view you? That's all that matters. He says, "As deceivers and yet true." The world thought he was a deceiver. That's why they were trying to kill him. But he was a true apostle of Christ. Verse 9, he says, "As unknown and yet well known." Who's Paul? Who are we? No one knows us. Who cares about us? No one's ever heard of us. A couple of generations from now, our great-grandkids won't even remember our names. You didn't like that, did you? It's true, though. But God knows us, and that's what matters. He says, "As dying, and behold, we live. As chastened, and yet not killed." Everything that he went through. He was this close to death all the time, but he was still alive. And not only was he still alive, but he had eternal life. Verse 10, "As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing." I thought of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy is Paul's final letter, right before he is executed. And some of the last words that he says in the last chapter, chapter 4, he says to Timothy, "Everyone has abandoned me." He's in prison, and he's about to get killed. This is the Apostle Paul. And he says, "Everyone has left me. Everyone's abandoned me. I'm by myself. Except for Luke. Luke is still here, thankfully. Everyone else has left." You're like, that's kind of miserable. But he says, "You know what awaits me? A crown of righteousness that the Lord will give to me, which he will give to all who trust in him." Things are bad, but they're good. Depends on how you view them. Some Christians look at life as should always be glory and blessing and triumph, but no one lives like that all the time. Others are always miserable and everything is gloomy and grim. But Christianity is kind of a lot of both at the same time, it seems. Paul ends here, he says, "As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things." By human standards, Paul was poor. He had nothing. Like Christ. Christ said, "I don't have a place to lay my head." But Paul was an heir of the world. Christ had saved him. And by preaching the gospel, others also become part of the kingdom of God. He's poor, but he's making other people rich. Christianity is a lot of are we sad, but are we happy? Which one is it? Here's what happens. Listen, here's what happens. I'm trying to explain it. I'm like, how can I explain it? Here's what happens when a person gets saved. They become a new creation. I think we read that in 2 Corinthians. He becomes a new creation. But we're still living in a fallen world. And so you have this new and changed life living in an old and unchanged world. And there's this friction that exists in our life. We're rejoicing, but we're sad. We're rich, but we're poor. It's kind of both at the same time. We're dying, but we're alive. And that's what Paul is talking about here. This is what Christianity is like. This is what the Christian ministry is like. And so he concludes in verse 11. He says, "Oh, Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You're not restricted by us, but you're restricted by your own affections. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open." He says, "I've opened myself up to you. I've told you all about me. This is who I am. This is my life. This is what Christianity is." And of course, not everyone's going to go through the same things that the Apostle Paul went through. He was an apostle. He was unique. But he's saying this is what Christian ministry is: enduring and persevering in the faith through all the trials of life. This is what it is to be a Christian. And this is what it is to be a Christian minister. So what about us? We're called to do the same thing. We minister for God. We tell people about Christ. We tell our families, tell our friends about Christ. And some will listen, some won't. Many won't. But we are to show with our endurance and our perseverance in this life through those things where other people would give up. We say, no, we won't give up because the gospel is real. Because the gospel is true, and Christ is worth it. Thank you for your attention. Let's pray.